good. We like the weather. It's great. What day is Chad Taylor? Saturday. All right, so we got a couple of special events coming up this next weekend. On Saturday, we're going to have a work day. And we love work days, don't we? We like to make everything look nice. We're going to get some weeds pulled and some bushes trimmed and all that good stuff. It's going to be at 9 o'clock in the morning. We'll have coffee, donuts. My mom's going to make a 12-course breakfast meal. Just kidding about that part. But apple. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. And then that night, so the work day is at 9 in the morning, and it goes till about noon. And we're going to have a good work day because our umbrella that is over our church, Grace International, is going to be here Monday to share a lunch with us, and a bunch of the head pastors and the leaders of Grace are going to be here, and we're going to feed them and just have a good time of fellowship. And so we want our yard looking nice, we want our church looking nice. And then on Saturday night at 7 o'clock, Chad Taylor, he's a crazy radical evangelist dude. He used to have long hair, but he cut it. Not that that makes any difference to any of you, but he came and spoke to us at interns when we had interns a few years ago, and he's just crazy, radical dude. He'll do just about anything as long as it glorifies the Lord. He's a good friend of my dad's. He's going to be here speaking at 7 o'clock on Saturday. So you get to come to the workday from 9 to noon, go home, take a little siesta, come back, and have a good message from Chad. Sunday, we're going to be back here and do all this again and have fun. And then on Monday night of next, not tomorrow, the next Monday, the 3rd, we're going to have a couples cell. So if everybody's listening to me, a couples. You don't have to be married. You can be dating. You can be doing whatever. But we're going to have a couples cell at K and Jelly. Right there, if you guys could stand up. K and Jelly. Jay and Kelly, sorry. Anyways, we're going to have it at their house at 6 o'clock. Jelly will be performing a little act for us. But anyways, so at 6 o'clock, man, I'm really getting tongue-tied. That's not good. 6 o'clock, couple cell. We have a praise report. My grandpa is doing great. So thank you for all your prayers. My mom came back yesterday. He's off his ventilator. He's off a couple medications that were keeping his blood pressure to where it needed to be, and he's keeping it all on his own. He's said a word, so that's great. We're going to continue to believe that his motor skills are going to come back, and he's going to focus and just be healthy once again. And then we have another prayer request from Nick. One of his friends is 78, and he got beat up and is in Harborview. So he's in a pretty critical condition, and Nick's known him for a long time, and so we're going to lift him up in prayer. His name is Vern, so as I pray for him, I just want you guys to come into agreement and believe that the Lord is going to touch him and heal him. Father God, we lift up Vern to you right now. Father God, you know the situation. Father God, you know what's going on. Father God, we just pray that you will intervene in that situation right now. Father God, we pray that healing will come to his body. Father God, God, he may be older, Father God, but you are the ultimate healer, Father God. We just pray that you will touch his body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, Father God. Heal the wounds, Father God. We pray for strength for the family and strength for the friends, Father God. God, I don't know if he knows you, Father God, but I just pray that you will meet him in the place that he's at, Father God. God, just touch his life and touch his heart, Father God. Lord, we lift up this service to you right now, Father God. The ones you love are here to worship you, Father God. We just want to entertain your presence, Father God. We want to be so just engulfed in you, Father God. It doesn't matter what happened this morning. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday, Father God. It doesn't matter what's going to happen this afternoon, Father God. We just want to worship the King. We want to worship Almighty, Father God. We want to touch the hem of your garment, if you will, today, Father God. We want to feel the wind blow in this place, Father God. I just invite your presence to blow right now, Father God. God, just blow through this place, Father God, and burn, Father God, a refreshing burn, Father God. We just lift your name high, Father God. We pray for the message today, Father God. We pray that you will just just come alive, Father God, in the words, Father God. We pray for my dad, Father God. God, he is a vessel that just wants to be used by you, Father God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will just speak through him, Father God. As he opens his mouth, just let your words flow out, Father God. God, we just lift your name high, Father God.
You say, and every promise that you made, and the power that conquered the grave lives in me. Yes, we do, Lord, because you are stronger when I'm weak. The troubled times, you carry me and open my eyes to see that you are always there, cause your love is like rivers flowing, your love is like rain falling, your love is like wind blowing over me, your love is life and it surrounds me, your love's like fire. It consumes me. Your love is true. No one else compares to you. Compares to you. Cause in the fire, through the pain, my trust in you, God, will remain. For I've been bought and I've been claimed by your blood. By your blood. Cause your love is like rivers flowing, your love is like rain falling, your love is like wind blowing over me, your love is life and it surrounds me, your love's like fire and it consumes me, your love is true, no one else compares to you. Compares to you, it's better than life. Your love is to me better than life. Your love, better than life. Your love is to me better than life. Your love, come on, sing it out. Better than life. Your love is to me better than life. Your love, better than life. Your love is to me better than life, better than life. Cause your love is like rivers flowing, your love is like rain falling, your love is like wind blowing over me, over me. Your love is life and it surrounds me, your love's like fire. It consumes me. Your love is true. No one else compares to you. Compares to you.
God, we just welcome your Holy Spirit to reign and rule in this place today, Lord. God, we ask for your glory just to come down like we've never experienced and never seen before today, God. Come on, let's just join together with one voice, with one mind and one accord. And let's just call down the fire of God just to consume our lives, to consume this place. Lord Jesus, we just call down your fire. God, we call down your fire just to fill this place, to fill this place, to fill this place. God, fill this place with your wind. God, with your glory, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Yeah. Your love is like rivers flowing, your love is like rain falling, your love is like wind blowing over me, your love is life and it surrounds me, your love's like fire and it consumes me, your love is true. No one else compares to you, compares to you. Great. Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us, Lord. You lead us by the waters and to mercy. Come on, nothing can. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember, and so remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, oh God. Oh God, 'cause your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Yes, it is. Your grace is enough for me. Come on, great is your love. Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. Oh, you lead us by. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. Come on, sing it out. So remember. So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, oh God. Yes, we do, Lord. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Come on, sing it again. God, I see your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Yes, it is. Your grace is enough for me. For me. For me. Yeah. For me. Oh, your grace is enough. Oh, your grace is enough, Lord, for us, oh Jesus, for me. 'Cause your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Thank you for your grace this morning, God. Thank you for your mercies. For they're new every morning, God. We want to say we love you, Lord. We love you. this place with the glory of God. For we are hungry for all that you are, and cause your presence to fall on our hearts. And Holy Spirit, and we are desperate. Fill this place with the glory of God. For we are hungry for all that you are. Cause your presence, Lord, and cause your presence to fall on our hearts. And Holy Spirit, we are desperate, Lord. We are desperate, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Lord, we are desperate, yeah, for you to come and move and have. Cause your presence, Lord, cause your presence to fall on our hearts. Holy Spirit, we are desperate. Yes, we are, Lord. Holy Spirit, we are desperate for you, Lord. We are desperate. Yes, we are, for you to come and move and have your way. Let heaven invade this place as we call upon your name. Show your power and we'll be changed. Let heaven invade this place. Let heaven invade this place. Cause I have been marked with glory, and I am forever changed. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I have been marked with glory, and I am forever changed. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives. Sing that again to the Lord. And I have been marked with glory, and I am forever changed. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I'm living for you, so come and move. and have your way. Let heaven invade this place as we call upon your name and show your power, and we'll be changed. Let heaven invade this place. 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 Let heaven invade this place, Lord. Let heaven invade this place. God, mark us with your glory this morning, Jesus. God, mark us with your glory this morning, Jesus. God, that we leave this place completely transformed, Jesus. Fill this place, Lord, with your glory, with your power, with your mercy, with your glory, with your power, with your mercy. Sing with your mercy, with your power, with your glory. Your mercy and your power and your glory, as we sing, Lord, with your mercy and your power and your glory, fill this place with your mercy and your power and your glory, Lord, with your mercy and your power and your glory, we long for you, with your mercy and your power and your glory, your glory, your glory, your mercy and your power and your glory, Lord, yeah, with your mercy and your power and your glory, refreshing rain, yeah, with your glory and your power and your glory, Lord, yeah, with your mercy and your power and your glory, fill this place with your mercy and your power and your glory, we long, yes we do, with your mercy and your power and your glory, sing to the Lord your mercy and your power and your glory, fill this place with your mercy and your power and your glory, Lord, your mercy and your power and your glory, yes we do. We worship you, Lord. Fill this place, Lord. With your power, Lord. With your power, Lord Jesus, we want to be changed by you, Lord. We want to be changed by you, Lord. We want to be changed. Change us, Lord. Change our hearts, Lord. Change our hearts. Change our minds, Lord. Come on, if you want to be changed this morning, just lift up your hands and begin to cry out to God. change my heart, change my mind, change my spirit, Lord. Oh, let it come, Lord Jesus, come. God, we want to see you in such a greater way right now, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Open our eyes to see your face. Remove the blinders. Remove the blinders, Lord. We want to see your face, Lord. We want to see your holy face.
Remember how you're feeling right now. Remember how you're feeling that the Lord Jesus has invaded your place, this place, your spirit. And I want to tell you a vision the Lord gave me a week ago Saturday. And there were people praying for Gaylene's dad. And I saw hands lifted up to heaven, holding him up. And we were going into the throne room of the Father. And the Lord received him. And I text Pastor. And I said, I'm not sure. But if you think Gailey needs to hear this, share it with her. But I knew that I knew that the prayers of the righteous were holding that man up. I know that we prayed on Sunday. And the Lord held him up. As the week went on, we kept getting the updates and the changes. We continued to hold him up. And then I think it was Thursday morning, I don't know. I was going to a client's home and I was praying in the spirit. And the Lord showed me, again, hands holding Dan up. Only this time, the Lord chose to give back Dan into the hands and the arms of the worshipers, the ones that had invaded heaven's doors and had prayed for him. And that is what the Lord wants. When we hear of someone in need, when we know someone needs prayers, we are to invade heaven. We are to go into the throne room and intercede for all those in need. And so we are invading the Lord's heaven. We are going into the throne room with the Father, with our worship, with our prayers, with that which is in our being, that which we know is truth. We are to invade heaven. And so whenever we see those emails coming through with prayer requests, don't take it lightly. When someone says to you, I'm having a hard day, don't take it lightly, because the prayers of the righteous are mighty, mighty. And the Lord God wants to honor us and bless us because his son died for healing, for love, and for relationship. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that Dan will stand and give testimony to what the Father has done in his life. And we will all stand and give testimony what the Lord has done in our life. And there's one more thing the Lord told me when I walked up here. I said, I better get up there now because I might weaken. The Lord said, you all have stories. You've all been blessed by me. It's just not the few that should be sharing. All of you have been blessed by the Father. And there's more blessings to come because he is our creator and our Lord. And he loves us. Thank you, Jesus.
been reading a book, and I finished the book. It's the first book I've read since I was required to read a book. And it's the book is entitled Jesus Is, and Jesus Is What? It's kind of the whole thing of the book. And it really kind of changed the way that I look at my walk with the Lord. And I think it could change a lot of your people, a lot of your walks. So many times we get into this rut of, God, you don't know what I did. You don't know what happened last night. You don't know the sin that I committed. Newsflash, he knows. He sees it and he knows what's going on. He knows your heart. He knows every step you take, every breath you take, every hair on your head. There's nothing that we can hide from the Lord. But yet we get into this attitude of, I am so unworthy. I can't even worship you, Lord, because of what I've done or what I'm doing or what I did this morning before I came. And when we get into that attitude, we totally diminish the work of the cross. We tell God, your work on the cross, you dying, isn't good enough for me. It may be good enough for them, but it's not good enough for me. But that's not what God wants us to, how he wants us to feel. Because his work on the cross abolished sin, and we get to walk in his grace. And we get to pick ourselves up, and we get to brush ourselves off. In Proverbs it says, the wise man falls 7 times, but he gets up 8. What that is saying is, no matter how many times you trip, no matter how many times you fall, no matter how many mistakes you make, sometimes it just says, okay, Lord, I'm going to pick myself up, I'm going to dust myself off, and I'm going to keep going. It doesn't mean you pick yourself up and you go, man, I got to go all the way back here to where I started and start all over again. No, his grace is sufficient for you. His grace, that song that we said, his grace is enough for you. He died on the cross for you, not just for me, not just for Lynette, not just for Pastor Mike, but he died on the cross for you. His grace is for you. His mercies are new every morning. So when we fall, we just pick ourselves up and we dust ourselves off, because I'm going to tell you, you're never going to attain a perfect walk. We're all going to fall, and we're going to continue to fall. That is human nature. But by walking with the Lord and picking ourselves up, it's going to get a little bit easier. It's going to get a little bit better, and you're just going to go, okay, I'm not going to do that again. I'm just going to keep trucking. I'm going to keep going, and it's going to get a little bit easier. There's not going to be so many trip-ups, because you know what? You're walking in the grace of the King. You're walking in the mercy of the King, and he's going to walk with you, and he's going to help you, and he's going to see that stumbling block. He's going to be like, wait, you did that back there. Don't do it again, and he's going to lift you over it. Lord, we just pray right now, Father God. We just lift up holy hands to you. If everybody could close your eyes and lift up your hands to the Lord. Father God, we just want to capture your presence, Father God. We are in awe of who you are, Father God. God, you are awesome. You are holy. You are righteous, Father God. No words can describe what you did on that cross, Father God. There's not enough words to describe the greatness of what you did on that cross, Father God. God, let your mercies and your grace reign over our lives, Father God. God, let us capture that grace for us, Father God. Your grace is enough for us, Father God.
Here I am waiting. Abide in me, I pray. And here I am longing for you. And hide me in your love. Bring me to my knees. And may I know Jesus more and more. And come live in me and all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me, and I will rise on eagle's wing. And here I am waiting. Here I am longing for you. And hide me in your love. Bring me to Jesus more and more. Jesus, come live. Come live in me and all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me. Come breathe in me. I will rise on eagle's wings. Come live in me and all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me. Come breathe in me. And I will rise on eagle's wing.
The Lord was speaking to me last night, and he said, while I was laying down, he said, pray for the weak. And I didn't really think of it. And then he just kind of just mentioned to me that it was for today. And he was talking about the people. I just know that today there's some people here, you feel just really weak in yourself, like you can't do it, or there's something, do you feel like it maybe is just stopping you? And then when I looked it up today about weakness, the first scripture that I got was about Paul. He had a problem in his flesh, and the Lord spoke to him and said that my grace is sufficient for you. And that, and today before we were praying, or before service we were praying, and my wife just kept getting the same scripture over and over, my grace is sufficient for you. So I just know that today that the Lord really wants to minister to somebody here. And he just really wants you to let you know that, you know, he's a deliverer. He knows exactly where you're at in your walk. And, you know, it wasn't until Paul and Silas, they got thrown in prison and they were in shackles, until God showed up and mightily delivered them. So it doesn't matter where you're at. Jesus is awesome, and he is able to do exceedingly abundantly, way above everything you could ever ask. He's awesome, and his love will transcend anything that you're going through. So, while he's playing a song, if you think this is for you, if you feel weak, just come up. We'd really like to pray for you. I believe God will really touch your life. Just let him minister to you today. Let him change your life forever.
Grace and suffering.
You have shown me your love. Through judgment you receive. You have won my heart. And you won my heart. Now I can trade these ashes in for beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown. Coming to kiss the feet of mercy, I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross. I trade these ashes in for beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown. Coming to kiss the feet of mercy, I lay every burden.
So you've heard a lot about my dad this week, apparently. And my dad loves the Lord so much. Last Saturday, before he took a turn on Sunday morning, was intubated and air-vacced over to Seattle, my husband came into the hospital room and he released the glory of God over my dad. And when I was praying for my dad, I told Dad, I said, Dad, speak life out of your mouth. Speak life. Speak the glory of God. Speak the power of God out of your life. Because in it is life instead of death. And they told us he was dying. I mean, he was dying. And when the glory of God was released over that room when my husband was praying, You could feel it. It was tangible. It was so powerful that it felt like if you had a glorious sword that you could have cut it with it. It was that thick. And I believe because God knew what was to come this week in my dad's life, that he needed to do it then on Saturday. And I believe the glory of God is what's carried my dad this week. But my dad is not the only one God loves. He loves you so much. He knows what you're going to go through tomorrow. He knows what you're going to go through next week. And his glory is for you too. We had a service here on a Wednesday night about 18 months ago where God touched every person and not one person was touched by human hands, honestly. And the glory was so thick. It was like that. And I feel that we have the choice. He's so gracious like that to let us carry that glory, or circumstances, sometimes we just drop it because life is hard, you know? But this week, my dad carried that glory through every surgery, through every drop in blood pressure. And I'm telling you, blood pressure was 56 over 27. That's almost gone. But the glory of God carried him through that. And do you feel spiritually sometimes if like you're dying? Have you felt that way? Do you feel that way? Because if you do, the glory of God can carry you. Do you need something from him today, really? I mean, come on. Priorities and everything. I'm changed. Because I saw the power of God move so amazingly wonderful in my father's life. I believe he let me see that because he needs you to see that. priorities are. Who cares if the children go down? Who cares what happens? As long as God is glorified in your life, not all of our lives, be selfish. Let it be your life. Do you need him today? Really? If you really did, you wouldn't be sitting back there. You'd be standing up here desperate for him. Desperate. Glory of God. Glory of God. That's it today. His grace, his glory. That's it today. You were right on the money. You were right on the money this morning. Do you need him today? Are you desperate for him? Will you come?
That hill, and he took the nails for you. He said, I have released you from the bondage that you've been under. And I release you from every shackle, every chain, every weight that holds you in pain. Everything I release you from today. I release you from today. And every day, my grace is all you need.
Yes, Jesus, thank you, Jesus.
My grace is all you need.
Yes, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus.
Your whole life is
amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, and I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised goodwill to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, and I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, and I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace.
Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. Thank you, Lord, that it's your grace that's sufficient. It is your grace that's enough. Lord, I thank you for every heart that has opened up to you today, that has received your grace, that has received the comfort of the Holy Spirit, that's received the peace of God that passes all understanding. Lord, we seal these prayers. We seal this atmosphere right now in their hearts. And we say, Lord, that when they leave, God, it's going to stay. Your grace is going to remain. It's going to go through the day. It's going to minister to them, speak to their hearts, encourage them, guide and lead them into all truth. Lord, that you are going to be, Lord, working in their lives today as they move and live in you. We just thank you, Lord, for this time that you've come and visited us. Thank you for heaven invading our space and our place today, Lord. You have permission to do it anytime you want. We just open ourselves up to the full work of God, not holding you back, but receiving every good and perfect gift that comes from the Father of lights into our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good, isn't he? Amen. Well, why don't the children come on up? Impact. I believe Impact's going down, right? Impact's going down. Hello! Come on. Now that is enthusiasm. That's like running for the finish line. Praise the Lord. What a great group. What a great... Give your children a hand today. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for these lives. We thank you, God, that these are your children. Lord, you have entrusted them into our care, Lord, but they're your children. And Father, we pray, God, that you would just stir their hearts today. Pray, God, that you would show them and reveal the truth to them of who they are and who you are. Pray, God, that your love would just shine down on their lives, Lord, in such a way that it transforms and changes them. We speak a blessing over our children, Lord. We bless them as they come and bless them as they go. Bless them in everything that they do in their life, everything they set their hand to do, their homework, Lord, their schoolwork, Lord, their playing with their friends, God, being with their family, Lord. Bless them, God, and let them be a blessing to others' lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. There's that hum again. Working. Taryn Zeke. Next week, it kind of came out of the blue. We've been working just a couple of weeks, but I haven't been able to talk to you. It's supposed to be at your guys' house, June 1st. Can we move that to another day? Okay. Because I don't think we're going to be able to have that 7 o'clock meeting and also do 6 o'clock prayer. So I'll let you guys be the first to pick a date there. Then you can pass it on. Anyone can fill in those other dates. That's our home prayer. And it's where we get together in someone's home who hosts it. And we go and we pray, worship, and seek the Lord. And it's a great time of fellowship and prayer. So if you'd like to sign up for that, that sheet's going around. And what else is going on? Oh, speaking of next week, I do want to encourage everyone to come to the work day. Many hands make light work, and Stephen really has his goal set on doing yard work, and we will be doing yard, but we'll also be doing some... work on the inside, but we're going to try to just beautify the church. I mean, it's not like it's a pit or a hole or anything like that, but it still needs. You don't like that remark? it's not like it's all trashed as it is, but I mean, the yard needs some help. How many know weeds grow? What is it with those weeds? Huh? Especially with rain, and we have had the rain, have we not? Oh my goodness. I thought I was going to be floating away there for a bit on Friday. It was really coming down. And then, so that's at 9 a.m., and we'll probably go, till noon or 1, and we will have some food. Not a 12-course breakfast, of course, but, I don't know. My wife may surprise us, but. And then next Saturday night, I want to encourage everyone to come and be part of this meeting with Chad Taylor. Chad is an eccentric, to say the least, but he loves the Lord, and he loves the lost. I mean, he truly loves the lost. He goes into the most, sometimes dangerous places to try to win people. He goes into, he gets to speak at the Dream Center, but he likes to personally just go and just, seek and save that which is lost. And he has a way of making that hunger and that heart for the lost infectious.
So if you want to, you know, be stirred up and encouraged and hear kind of the prophetic heart of God for the lost, I encourage you to come here, Chad. He's going to be here with Propheticus, and they were here about 4 years ago. And to just give you an idea, they were here for 3 days. They were at Le Chateau. I didn't get to go to it. But their final night, they were interceding and praying, and it was just prophetic worship. And they had kind of a prophetic song that came out. It was about our city and how the strongholds were going to be broken. Well, there was not a cloud in the sky. There was no prediction of this, but there were over 1,000 lightning strikes that night. It's in the Herald. You can see it. And I mean, it started some fires, but it was all over the valley. Lightning just started falling. And so it was a manifestation in the natural of some things that were taking place in the supernatural. So I encourage you to come 7 o'clock, and it's not your normal service, so I just want to warn you of that. But be prepared to be stirred up and encouraged. Amen? Okay, and then on the 3rd of June, that's that Monday, we're going to have Grace International here, and they are our mothership. that's our denomination. We're Grace International, and mothership. Thinking alien type stuff now. So anyway, they're going to have our care meeting here, and that's going to be at 12:30. We'll have a lunch. And anyone who would like to come that day, they can come and join us for either lunch, or they can come afterwards. And there's going to be Paul Adams is going to be speaking. And it's mainly just pastors, but you're more than welcome. We're hosting it, so I just want to let you guys know that. If you are going to come, please let us know so we can make sure there's plenty of food. So, all right, praise the Lord. Well, oh, really? That's Josh. Give him the account. Praise the Lord. Well, I was yesterday at the Saturday night prayer, and while we were praying, and this was kind of in my heart this week, off and on, this has been in my heart, but I was just, you know, praying, and this scripture came to me, and I actually asked Gay last night, I said, honey, have I ever preached on this before? You know, because I don't like to repeat, you know. Even though, you know, sometimes the Lord gives me things that seem similar. She goes, well, honey, even if he did, it's going to be different. I said, that's true, you know. So here we go. If I have preached on this again, I know we've done this on Wednesday nights. I was thinking of this the other night. Now, Zeke, this almost sounds scary, but we've been at your house almost 9 years now? 9 years. So roughly about 450 meetings we've had at your house. Isn't that crazy? Never thought about it that way. As pastor, you don't have to come anymore. It's like we're still doing Wednesday nights and we enjoy it. And that I'm just saying that to say this. He's probably heard the scripture shared on before. But it's probably going to be different, Zeke, so don't worry about it. But I like sometimes breaking down scriptures. A lot of times I like breaking down scriptures because I think we get into a habit of looking at things at face value. And there's nothing wrong with looking at things face value because sometimes just the simplicity of face value, you still get truth out of it. But I like to sometimes dig things apart and really look and see, okay, what was being said here? What does this mean? And how can I apply this truth in my life so that it brings the result that I believe the scripture is for? I don't think God writes anything in the word just by chance. I don't think it's just, you know, an afterthought, you know, I'll just throw this together. I think the word of God is there, as it says, living and active. And it's there so that it can transform us. It can change us. It can take our motives and our thoughts and expose them and let us know, you know, what we're really thinking or what we're really doing or why we're going to do what we're going to do. So the Word of God can do that, but it can also bring a metamorphosis to us. It says in Romans 12:2 that it's we're to be not be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed or metamorphosized by the renewing of our mind. And how do we do that? I believe it's the Word of God. So today I'm going to bring kind of a long message to a fairly short verse, And I think I've got 6 Greek words that I want to share on this one verse. And hopefully together we're going to discover what this means. I have some little ideas that I've gotten already, but let's see where the Lord takes us. Father, we just thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you that your word's alive, Lord, and that it doesn't matter if we've read a verse one time or we've quoted it or we've even sang songs about it. Lord, it's alive, and it can reveal new truths to us. It can reveal a new side of who you are. We can catch another side of your profile or even the back of your head and see a new part of your characteristics. So, Lord, I pray today, God, that we would just have revelation of you. Lord, we'd have truth, God, exposed to us in such a way that we can't help but change, that we can't help but surrender to what the truth says. And Lord, I just thank you that you're working in your people in this day. Lord, I know you've worked before in the past, and I know you've done a work in me in the past. You've done a work most likely in all of us in the past. But I thank you, Lord, that you're doing a new thing today. God, you're revealing to us, Lord, who we are in such a way, God, that we're becoming what we're seeing. Lord, and I pray right now that today, God, that we would catch another glimpse of you. Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to know you. We want to know you fully, wholly. Holy, we want to know you. Not partly, not in ways that we've heard before in the past or that we've been exposed to as we've grown up, but Lord, we want to see you for who you are today in our lives. So let your word come alive to us. Let the truth of your word be made known here today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm sure 90% of you probably quote this verse with me. And if you can, then you can quote your version with me. But it's Romans 8:28, and it goes like this. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. That is the New King James Version, and I didn't hear anybody else say it, so obviously I started off on a translation you weren't ready to quote. So either you did it on your breath, so that's good. So Romans 8:28, I have, quoted this to people. Anytime people come to me, and myself, and I run into problems, situations that don't make sense, or just, trials of life. I think it was Tim asked me this week. He said, "Dad, I'm mad." I said, "Why are you mad?" He says, who would let that happen?" And I know he's like referring to God. And I said, "Tim, it's very clear that in this life we're going to have troubles." Jesus said, "In this life you'll have trials and tribulations." But, he also added, "Be of good cheer," that he's overcome this life for us. And in him, we don't have to let these circumstances mold us. We don't have to let the trials of life make us into a conformed person of this world. We can rise above it because of Christ. But I've been thinking about this scripture because, anytime you go through a crisis, and I know there's been other crises before in the past, but this one just seemed to just strike home because it was just out of the blue, really, out of both Gay's mom and dad. Her dad's the healthiest and the strongest, and we were preparing for other things and down the road, but not this. And so this was like a ball peen hammer to the head in a way. And it hit us so fast. Even when we saw Dan a week ago Thursday, and he was unconscious and stuff. I just thought he was dehydrated. I just thought, he was, sick, from being sick. I had no idea, that he had two bacterias in his body that were just basically raging through his body, terrorizing his organs. And I had no idea. And then as it became more and more apparent to us that this was a life-threatening situation, I'm thinking, God is going to take this, what's meant for evil, and turn it to good, And it's like, it's where the rubber meets the road, folks, when you have these kind of situations where you have to say, okay, do I truly believe what I say, what I quote to other people? Yeah, God's going to make all things work together for good to those who love God and called according to his purpose. And, you know, that can be just a flippant statement to some when you say it and you don't really have love motivated behind it. You know what I mean? Where you just say to someone, oh, it'll all work out. God's going to make everything work together for good. And so I was thinking, okay, Lord, what do you mean by that? Because I don't want to take this anymore at face value. I want to be able to have this in my heart. I want us to be able to receive this in our heart so that when we do go through troubles or when we're going through trials, that we can say this with 100% clarity and surety of what it means and appropriate it for our lives. So first, we know. This word we know is the Greek word eido, and it really means to see. When you say I see what you're saying, you could say I see what you mean. That's the word eido. But in this case, it's talking about what I see becomes really what I know. So I believe that Paul is expressing, because he's lived it, that he knows by what he's seen that when he saw certain things happen in his life because of who he was in Christ, because of what God was in him, that God would let those things work for his good. That he saw so much that he knew then. And so you have to allow God to let the trials come. You do. You have to realize that it's through the negatives that the positive develops. Do you guys realize that? I got a picture here for you. I wasn't planning this. I don't think I can put it on the screen or anything, but I've got to read this to you because this was handwritten in the hospital, and I took a picture of it. It might be on my phone, so hang on here a second. No photo screen. You know what it is, don't you? Yeah, here it is. And this, you guys can, this is not quoted from Mike Lindell or anything, but this is good. Life is like photography. We develop from the negatives. Life is like photography. We develop from the negatives. Now, those of you who use digital cameras are saying, what is that? A negative used to be on a film strip. For those of you that are under 25, it's like 35 even. Huh? But we develop from the negatives. The negative is what was taken to the photography shop, and it was then given its process to make a picture. But life is like photography. We develop from the negatives. And if we don't allow to, and maybe even embrace the negatives and the tragedies and the trials and the setbacks and the hardships, then how are we ever really going to know that he's going to make good come out of those? How are we going to know unless we embrace them? So our first word to understand is know, and it really means to see enough that then you truly know what God's talking about. You know, it's like when you see somebody, you know, constantly going and doing things, you know, maybe doing things for you, maybe someone at work constantly every day comes up to you and says, hey, good morning, bro, how you doing? Or good morning, you know, whatever your name is, how are you doing? And they're friendly, and they do it every morning. After a while, you know that person like that. You know them. It's not that you just see them doing it. That you've been seeing it so long that you now know that that's their characteristic. That's what God's talking about there. That's what Paul was writing about. So we know that all things. It sounds like, okay, so you're not going to break down all, are you? Yeah, I am. I'm going to break down all. I'm going to break down the word for crying out loud, so I'll do all, okay? We know that all things, so this really means each and every part of a totality. It means this, each and every, by means of all, is the sense of every single part that applies. So if you think about this, so we know, Paul said, and we know, we see, we understand through experience of God's working in our lives, we know and we see that every single part of our life that applies to what? That applies to the work of God. See, now he's kind of starting to identify where this good comes from. Because some people say, Pastor, I got to tell you, I don't believe that scripture because I've seen Many things come to my life, and I've never seen any good come out of them. And that could most definitely be the case, that there have been things that have happened in your life, and as far as you can tell at this point, nothing good has ever come out of it. It was just a tragedy that ended in sorrow with no good. And you could say that that could be the case, and I will explain as we go on why that could happen. But this all things means all in the sense of every part that applies. The emphasis is on the total picture that is on the one piece at a time. See, it's not just necessarily an incident happens, a tragedy, and then good immediately comes from it. It's the totality of the event and how you let each and every part be either ministered to by God or exclude God from it. Do you see what I'm saying? See, it's God at work in us for his good pleasure. Hi. It's God at work in us to accomplish in us, to create Jesus' character. That's what God wants. Some of us think that God wants us to have a successful life, you know, money, all these different things that somehow shows that we're blessed. But that's not God's goal. If it happens to us in the process of us becoming like Christ, he's fine with that. But God's goal is for us to become like Jesus. God's goal is for us to take on the image and the character of Christ. Now, let me ask you this. If Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered, what do you think we do then? I mean, do you think that we learn from suffering? I think we do. Do you think we learn from disasters? I think we do. So, if you look at this, each and every part, I'm going to go on because I think this will play in actually into the next part here. It says that, and we know that all things work together for good. So let's look at this, working together. This is the word synergero. It means to work together with someone or cooperate, to be a co-worker or a fellow laborer. It's used in the verse, let me get back here. It's used in the verse where a lot of us know it from, is Matthew 16:20, where it says this, and they went out, this is the very last verse of Mark, excuse me, 16:20, Mark 16:20, for those of you taking notes. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. It says, the Lord working. So this was the Lord working as they preached. So here we see that this word, synergero, or geo, synergio, means to work together with someone or cooperate, to be a co-worker, a fellow laborer. Now, this is the key, I think, where these other three start to come into play, or other two that I've talked about, is that we know, we see, we understand that all things, all the events that are taking place in their totality are working together. Now, I've kind of, in my mind, quoted this verse many times, but this is the way that I've thought it. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I've applied the together with the good. In other words, I've made the together like a preposition for the good. They connected. But that's not what it's saying at all. What this is saying is all things are working together. All things are working alongside me, alongside Holy Spirit, alongside God himself, are working together. It's a cooperation. See, that's why when we exclude the Lord out of our tragedies, when we start getting him outside of our life, and we're saying, I can handle this myself, or you've dissed me, you've given me a bad one here, I'm going to walk through it. I'm mad at you right now, we'll work it out later. Now what you've done is you don't have the working together. You now have you going through that tragedy. You now have you going through that trial. You're not working alongside of God. The only way that things are going to work together for good is if they're working together and you're working together with God. It's not separate. And it's not just God working outside of your situation. He's going to make it good. You've got to partner with him. I think it's more of a cooperation. It's a cooperation. You're saying, Lord, I don't understand this here. What's going on? This makes no sense to me. You love me. I know you love me. And so how you've allowed this tragedy, this thing in my life, I don't understand. But I know that you're a good God. I know there's no darkness. I know there's no shadow of turning. I know there's no deviancy in you. You are all love and you are all caring for me. So I'm going to cooperate with you in this tragedy. I'm going to yield my heart. I'm going to cry when I need to cry, but I'm going to surrender to you. I'm not going to hold on to things. I'm going to release them to you, maybe to another brother or sister in Christ. That's working together. See, God wants us to be like Jesus. And Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. And I've learned that obedience is better than sacrifice. So as we walk through a trial, and, you know, I haven't even been able to talk to your dad yet, but I'm sure he's going to say, you know, because, I mean, the last time I talked to him, we were saying, praise God, yes, we thought you were dying, but you're here. And I mean, he looked alive and alert, and it's like 2 days later, what? So, I mean, I don't know how I'm going to say that to him. It's like, but I bet he's going to say, thank you, Jesus, I'm alive. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm here. Got some things to work through, but thank you, Lord, that you've given me another day to live for you. He makes all things, everything, every single part. I don't think there's a situation in our life. I don't think, and I don't care if the enemy brought it on, he can make everything work for our good. Everything. When we let him work together with us, when we let him stay in it with us. How many of you sometimes want to just push God out of the way because you're tired of the having to learn obedience to the things you suffer? Like, I've had some people say to me, I mean, literally, they said, I can't be a Christian anymore. And I mean, they were loving the Lord. But he says, this is the most trials I've ever had in my life. I said, well, that's biblical. It says that the trials come to test you for the word's sake. But they left the Lord after that. Craziness. So get this. This would be a little side note. That word synergiro, the root of that, or that is the root of our word synergy. It's where we get our word synergy, working together with somebody to come, you know, putting heads together to come up with a new idea, a new concept. So that's just a little side note. Okay, now here it comes. This is really like kind of anal, really, for the word for. But this is good, though, because this isn't just the word for. It really means something else. Okay, so working together for. This is a literal motion into which implying penetration unto or union to a particular purpose or result. So this would be more like for unto or for into good. In other words, not just for good, but literally the purpose of good. In other words, God is going to allow what we're going through to become good. For the purpose of being good. Now, this is really odd because how can someone say, okay, this evil is literally meant for good? Well, that's what Joseph tells his brothers. You know, you meant to do harm to me. You meant to throw me away and forget about me and just make my life miserable because I obviously made your life miserable. But what you meant for evil, and get this, God designs for good. Right. Oh. Now, see, that's... That's sadistic, Pastor. You're saying God hurts us because good will come out of it? Well, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that what we're working through together, the all things, and most of the time, it's not the good things that we're worried about turning into good. So let's be honest. It's the bad things. They're for unto good. They're designed to become good. Now, you guys think about this. If we could get the picture in our hearts that when evil comes, when bad times come, when difficulties come, that God intends them for good, they can be a lot easier to swallow. They can be a lot easier to submit to. They can be a lot easier to yield your will and your way to. When you're not fretting over them, but when you're embracing them. Ugh. I'm just preaching it. I'm not saying it's easy to live. But it is the truth. And guess what? My Bible says when we know the truth, when we experientially know the truth, what's it do? It makes us free. And I believe it makes us free from the lies and the trips that the enemy keeps putting over us by saying, oh, if God really loved you, he wouldn't let you go through that. Everybody ever heard that? Maybe not out loud, maybe, yeah. But that's a lie from the enemy. No, God loves me, so he allows me to go through this. So this word for, again, means unto or union. Okay, good. Let's talk, I'll just quickly hit on good. It's intrinsically good, good in the nature, good whether it be seen to be good or not. Now that's the key. It is good whether it is to be seen to be good or not. In other words, it's good whether you believe it's good or not. So what does that mean? Well, that means at the end of the result, when God's good is manifested, you may not know it's good. You may not be able to see it's good at this time in your life. You're going to have to take it by faith that it's good. In other words, you've gone through all of this and you thought, okay, I believe this. Pastor said, I got to see and know that all things with we working alongside God in this struggle, and now we're at the good. And boy, this doesn't look good. Maybe it's this. Maybe let's put a for instance. I know sometimes people need pictures. Let's say you're having a struggle at work. You've got a coworker. He's just always chiding you, always just giving you a bad time. You start going, Lord, I don't know why he's doing this. But you know what? I surrender to you. I yield to you in this. You know, I just ask, Lord, that you would just, you know, allow us to get along. But you never end up getting along. It seems like he starts to ride on you even more. And then he gets promoted. Now he's your supervisor. It's like, Lord, this is really not going well. So, you know, and you, so you say, okay, but all things work together for good. So, you know, you start, you know, doing the things that you do in faith. You start saying, Lord, you know, I submit this to you. I yield to you. You know, forgive me for holding anything against this person. And you just keep going on. And then at the very end, all of a sudden, you've been fired. Oh, wait a minute. I've been walking through this whole difficulty at work. I've been getting along with the person, all that stuff, and now I'm fired. That doesn't look like good, does it? Story's not over. So you being fired at that state right now is good. Well, I don't see anybody standing on their chairs cheering here. But it is the truth, whether it looks like it or not. If you have submitted to what God is doing and you've been walking along with him, working together in this trial through whatever you have to go through, and then you're out the other end and you've done that, it's good. Whether you believe it or not, whether you see it or not. Now, you don't know that God just released you so that in 6 months you're going to have the most amazing job. Or you don't know if he's released you because the job that you were in was one that was taking you away from your family. Now you're going to be able to be more there for your family, be a better family man, love your family. You don't know. But right now, at the time you're fired, it is good. According to the Word of God. Now, if you're just being bad and you're not a good employee, but you're saying, God, I need to, you know, and then you get fired, that's not necessarily good. We have to work together with him. That is the key. It's not just all things end up being good in our lives. That's not what it's saying. And it's just not saying all tragedies work good. No, it says all things work good when we're working together. Does that make sense? Okay. So the called. Let's look at this. So this is like the second part to make this all true. It's not all things just work together for good. There's now like an addendum. How many knows that addendums are very important? If you have an addendum to like a contract, you better read it, because there's usually things that need to be done or are required to make the contract right. So this promise that I believe this is, the promise to us, needs this other part fulfilled. Now listen to this. It says, all things work together for good to those who are the called. The called. Now this word is klete or kletos. It originally meant, it was used when someone was going to designate or invite someone to a banquet. This is used in the New Testament where I believe it's the king's servants who are going out and inviting people to the king's banquet. And you can read that parable. I think it was Matthew 20, 16 or 20, maybe it's both, 22, 14. But what is this saying? This is saying all things work together for good, work together for good to those who are the called, the ones who are invited. The ones who are invited to what? I believe the ones who are invited to God's will and purpose for their life. The ones who are invited to become part of God's kingdom. Listen to this. The called to his purpose. Let's read this here. For good to those who love God. Now, this love God is interesting because it's the word agape. Unconditional love for God. Strings attached. You love God because he loves you. And you love him with all your heart. You love him with everything that you are, with your total commitment. So that's a key for this verse to work. If you're getting into a place where you're not able to love God and just release everything over to him, please do that. Because it's going to make this hard to be swallowed when life starts sending you lemons. You won't be able to make lemonade. When you get negatives, you won't be able to develop the photographs, the beautiful picture that God's trying to give you. If you're not fully embracing him in love, if you're not fully yielding to all that he has for you. Because see, he has your very best in store. I tell people that all the time, tell myself that all the time when you're going through trials. He has nothing but his very best in store for you. Now, that doesn't mean that the difficulties of life don't make it look opposite to that. I'm not trying to say that you know, you just put on rose-colored glasses, you say, well, this doesn't exist, I'm ignoring this. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that you realize that no matter what it looks like, no matter what you see with your eye, he has nothing but good in store for you. Nothing. He does not have evil in store for you. Even though you go through things in this life, he has nothing but good in store for you. Now, what does that mean in the long run? That could mean that your good truly does not come till heaven. Just being honest here. Paul lived a tortured life. His final years, he was stuck in prison. He was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was stoned with a couple of times, half dead laying there. He was, you know, in places where he was, you know, starvation. And I mean, yes, he had times when he was abounding, but he had a lot of rough things going on. And he was looking for the glorious appearing of the Lord. Back then, they didn't have the comforts of life that we have. The majority of people lived pretty rough lives. You know, they didn't have running water. They didn't have, you know, the sickness and diseases were more prevalent. I mean, we live in a culture, in a society, in a time of of mankind, where medicine's very readily available. You know, our lifespans are much longer than what they used to be. So when this was written, they lived in persecution. They lived in trials. I think it's just a few verses before he says, you know, that he was basically convinced, he was assured that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Well, that's not just, you know, some impartation of the Spirit of God here. That glory that's truly going to be revealed in us is when we see him face to face. When we meet him face to face, then every trial, every test, every struggle we went through is fully good then. See, some of us receive, I think, a more of a look of good now than others. I'm just here to tell you. Some people have more struggles, more trials. Some are going to carry even a greater weight of glory, I believe, in the next life. Because they've submitted and they've yielded to the will of the Lord, no matter how hard life has been. Does that make sense? Because I don't want this to be painting a picture that somebody's life is going to look perfect all of a sudden at the end after they've walked through the Lord with all these trials. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that God has nothing but good in store for you, though. You can believe that. You can take that to the bank. Okay, for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, this according is interesting. I didn't break it out, but really it means according to the purpose. It's the word caught. It means down from an advanced placing, down from a design. So literally, there's a design for our lives. Did you guys know that? There's a divine design for your life. God has a divine plan for your life. A heavenly purpose for your life. And you may not always get to, you know, see it, or you may not always be believing it, but just know that there is a divine design for your life. And his purpose is literally a setting forth in an advance for a specific purpose. This purpose that it talks about is something that's like preordained. So God has a plan for our lives. It's a divine plan for life, designed for our lives. But it doesn't come just by chance. Does this make sense? How many of you have heard stories of people who said, yeah, I mean, I know a guy who got saved and he said, you know, somebody told him he was going to like be a pastor and all that stuff and said all these things over him. And now they're like 60 years later and they don't even serve the Lord. And they say, why didn't any of that happen? It's like, you know, why didn't God allow these things to happen in my life? Well, you have to yield to the will of God. God is not going to force himself on you. He can have a divine design for your life. And I bet there are lots of people out there who have known the Lord once and are out there running wild right now who didn't yield to his divine design. May have been just because of this all things working together for good. And they said, I'm done. I'm done with these all things. I'm done with these trials, these persecutions, however you want to label them. I'm done with them. At that point, you're no longer yielding to his will. And guess what? You're no longer yielding to his purpose and to his divine design for your life. See, there is such a heavenly purpose for our lives, his purpose for our lives, that if we will embrace 100% that purpose, then it does not matter what hits us. It does not matter what strikes at us. There's a strength that comes to us. We were talking earlier about, you were talking about, my grace is sufficient for you. That next verse, I think, says, for my strength is made perfect in this weakness. See, there's a strength that comes in our human weakness that cannot be described with human words. I mean, I know We've talked about it, but Pastor Gay, my wife, has had a strength for her while she's been over there with her dad and her mom, and it's divine. And it's not to say she's not physically tired, because I mean you can't be caring for somebody all that time and emotionally carrying that. But there's something of strength that's inside of her in this time of weakness. That is God. It can only be described as God. And I know many lives out here that have gone through things and are going through things that you could describe that somehow in this weak state, God has propped you up. And there's a strength that you have to live for God, but to live and be there for others. Does that make sense? Am I making sense? Praise the Lord. That's good. That's good that I'm preaching well and I'm still making sense. Romans 8:28. This is the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament. And I'm going to finish with this. And this is a version that you can get online. It is Bible.info or something like that, Jess? I think that's where you get it. And this guy is really good at bringing out the depths. This is like amplified on steroids. So I'm going to go ahead and read this the best that I can. If you guys would like more information on how to get this. But he really describes this verse pretty well. Now, he kind of describes two different translations of it, but it still gets the full meaning. It says, "Now we have seen and thus know, are aware that for in those habitually loving God," I love that, habitually loving God, "he is constantly working all things together into good." See, that's what I was trying to say. He's making them good. "That which is advantageous, worthy of admiration, noble, and of good qualities." That's the way he describes good. It says, "Yet we know that God is continuously joining everything together, is habitually working together with everything into the good by those who habitually love God. For those, in those, and by those, to those, being called, or ones called or invited, according to the purpose that's down from an advanced placing," this is talking about the design of your destiny, "down from a design in accord with and before placing the setting forth." How's that? So, God is taking all of our trials, all of our challenges, all of our setbacks, and all of our heartaches and pains. And as we walk alongside of him, allowing our effort of faith and a constancy of following the Lord, working together for good, no matter what it looks like at the end, it is good. And as we do this over and over and over again, we then, like Paul, can say, hey, we know. We've seen it enough. We've walked this life enough. I can tell you from experience, I could name off things that have happened in my life. You say, well, how could good come out of that? Well, good came out of it because I'm standing here today more like Jesus. I mean, I've grown in the Lord. Even though they were hard at the time, some of them, I mean, literally it felt like my being was being ripped apart. But I can tell you, here today, the good is being manifested. There still may be more good that's going to be produced even from things that happened 20 years ago in my life as God brings revelation to me of what he was doing then and how he allowed those things. He didn't bring them on me, but he allowed those things to come and challenge my faith in such a way that I can stand more like Jesus today. And that's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for all of us. That's the ultimate good. Not that we've made it through unscathed or that our wounds are healed or that we're able to live normally again. No, the ultimate good is that we become more like Jesus. That is it. If that's not your goal as a Christian, then you need to find it the right goal. Because your goal as a Christian is to just not live, like a Christian. Your goal as a Christian is not to do enough things so that you just make it to heaven. Your goal as a Christian is to be just like Jesus. Amen. That's our ultimate goal. Is to have his character, to have his mind, to have his love, his compassion and grace. And for some reason, folks, loved ones, the only way that comes is through the all things, through the trials, the hardships, the tragedies. Father, we just thank you for your word. And Holy Spirit, I pray you just clean up the mess that I may have created with all these Greek words. I pray right now that you just allow the truth that has been spoken, the words that you wanted said, Lord, that they would come out, and Lord, that they would be planted deep in our hearts and they would produce a fruit. Lord, let those negatives of our life, Lord, develop into what you want us to be, Lord. Let those tragedies, Lord, that have been set out for us, let them be embraced in such a way, Lord, that we grow and become who you want us to be. Lord, I know that you do all things well. All things, not just part, all things well. And Lord, we know that you are working everything in our lives as we're walking alongside with you for our good. And Father, I just pray right now, Lord, for those who are going through crisis as well, struggles that maybe don't make sense right now, tragedies that may have left their hearts broken. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name that revelation would come, that you're going to work alongside of them, with them, to develop good out of them. That what has been meant for evil, Lord, you have designed for good. And Father, we want to be like Jesus. We want to talk like him. We want to walk like him. As I said to some the other day, we want to smell like him. That aroma of life, Lord, to those who are looking for eternal life, and to some, the aroma of death, to those who are destined for destruction. Father, we want to be just like your Son. Work out in us, Lord, what it takes, and help us embrace the hard things of life so that you can achieve the good that you want to do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, she wants me to remind you. Work day. It's only been like in less than an hour, but still. Don't forget. I will send out a text to all of the city. No.